The subject I am speaking of is gratitude and thanksgiving. Undoubtedly, one of the most overlooked areas of virtue in the Bible. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Book of Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 92. Today we're going to take a very brief break from our study in Matthew and are going to concentrate on the vital subject of thanksgiving on this Thanksgiving Day. And what we're going to do is just concentrate on a few short verses at the beginning of this psalm. And I'm hoping that the few moments that we spend over these verses will prove to be enlightening and helpful to each one of us. So I'd like to read Psalm 92, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 4. And I'll start with the heading, a psalm. A song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. So, Father, as we come to this text of Scripture, we ask that you will do the very thing that the psalmist speaks of, that you will make us glad by your works and by your great work, the great work of Christ's death on the cross for our sins. Lord, we ask that we will not any of us will leave today with a heart that is heavy, or a heart that is discouraged, or a heart that is fearful, or a heart that is agitated. But instead, each one of us will leave today with a heart that has been made glad by our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll notice at the top of this psalm, it says that this is a song that is written for the Sabbath. Now, you'll remember that the Sabbath was first practiced by God. He enjoyed and rested in his work of creation on the seventh day. And so God instituted this Sabbath for his people, that they too would enjoy the regular rhythm of resting from their work to contemplate and to really enjoy and rejoice in God's work on their behalf. And we've spoken of this in the past in this church. The Sabbath, then, is about enjoying and delighting in God. It is given for our refreshment. Indeed, it is supposed to be a delight. And so, this psalm, we find out, is given to the people of God as they collectively celebrate what God has done for them. My friends, this is what we do every Sunday in this church, and this is what we're doing right now. This is also very important because if we do not intentionally contemplate God, if we do not intentionally think about what he has done for us, we will fail to thank him. And this, of course, has disastrous consequences. Did you know that the beginnings of humanity's drift and departure from God begins with ingratitude? Listen to the following sobering verse from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, which really tells us the descent of humanity away from God, their departure into deep depravity. And at the very head of it, showing us a starting point, is this verse. And it says this: for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So gratitude not only fills us with joy as we celebrate who God is, but the neglect of gratitude has the potential to plunge us into spiritual darkness. How important the area of gratitude is for believers. Truly, as this psalm says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Our passage today is going to show us that to contemplate God is to live in joyful gratitude to Him. To contemplate God is to live in joyful gratitude to Him. In other words, how we think or neglect to think about God has huge implications for our attitude in life. The discontent, the complainers, the unhappy, the angry, the depressed, the fretful and fearful are that way because of the wrong way they think about God. And the faith-filled, the peaceful and content, the patient, the grateful and joy-filled are that way because of the right way they think about God. Now, notice first that the psalmist begins by speaking about the lifestyle of joyful gratitude. The lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle. Josh led us so well, telling us that joy and gratitude is something that we live. It's a daily way of living. Well, it is. It's a lifestyle. We find that in verses 1 to 3. In fact, verses 1 to 3 in the original language are one long sentence. It is good is immediately followed by three modifiers, three explanations of what exactly is good. And the first two are found in verse 1. And what we find in verse 1 is it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Goodness is found in gratefulness. Goodness is found in gratefulness. Now let's think about this for a moment. When we feel entitled to something, we don't feel grateful, do we? I mean, I don't feel grateful. Maybe I should be grateful, but I don't feel grateful for the wireless service that I have in my home because I pay for it. I expect it to be there. I expect it to work. I don't call up Rogers to tell them how grateful I am for their wireless service. I call them up when it doesn't work. I don't send them thank you cards or flowers for this wireless service that they provide because I expect it. On the other hand, when I receive an unusual kindness or you receive an unusual kindness or gift of some sort, I feel gratitude for it. And I feel gratitude for it because I was not entitled to it. It was an unexpected surprise, like when Laura takes the whole family out to the Mandarin like she did last night. Unexpected and a delight. Or when Joanne, as she so often does, is extra kind to me when I'm grumpy and hard to live with. I know that's hard for you to believe. Unexpected, not deserved, but deeply appreciated. This is the nature of gratitude, my friends. The more undeserving we are, the more grateful we will feel. The more undeserving we are, the more grateful we will feel. So, a lack of gratitude expressed toward God betrays a heart that feels entitled to God's gifts. Friends, I think this is why we rarely express thanks to God when things are going well, but quickly blame Him when things go poorly. We feel entitled to the life that we want for ourselves. In a nutshell, we feel that God owes us rather than vice versa. Now, notice something else in verse 1. Gratitude is often expressed with music, with song. Music is a special gift from God to help us become God-focused, to reach out to God, to express our gratitude to Him. And it's special because music touches us at a level that, that just words and cognitive content doesn't, right? Music touches us at our emotional level, at our spirit level. So when you combine content and words, as the psalmist is doing here, you combine content and rational thought with music, then you're able to take the whole being and effectively engage in gratitude to God. And this, my friends, is why music is so important in our church. This is why we have music every single Sunday. It's part of our offering up gratitude and praise to God. And allowing us to engage in praise and gratitude with our whole being. We notice in verse 3 that even for this psalmist, it was done to the music of stringed instruments. The lute was kind of a 10-stringed mini guitar, as it were, kind of a deeper bass, an old-fashioned guitar, we could say. The lyre was kind of a small harp. Our worship band really is the modern version of verse 3. Now, when we get to verse 2, we find some very important teaching. I love verse 2. Throughout the years, I've loved to meditate on verse 2. Verse 2 is wonderful teaching on the rhythm of gratitude. I like to call it the rhythm of gratitude for a believer. Notice what it says. We give thanks to the Lord, verse 2, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. The first thing we see in this verse is that gratitude is a daily practice marked off by morning and night. Here's the wonderful thing, friends. We worship God best on Sundays if we're in the practice of worshiping God throughout the week. Those who engage with the Lord best when everyone is together are those who are engaging with Him privately by themselves and with their families through the week. Notice the rhythm of the grateful heart that we find in verse 2. Days are begun in the morning. Days are begun with the anticipation of meeting and encountering God's love. Do you see that? To declare your steadfast love in the morning. Here's the anticipation of encountering God's love in the day. It's so easy for us not to live this way, isn't it? We can wake up with dread as we think about all the responsibilities and stresses that we're likely to face that day. Or we can wake up with fear because we have assignments or exams or tests or unknowns before us. Or we can wake up with disappointment over all the things that we long for that we know once again we're unlikely to see. Or we can wake up with a heavy heart with the load of our own sin or the effects of someone else's sin upon us. And we can wake up, frankly, just bored, without any thought of God, just mechanically working our way through the day in a kind of a habituated routine. Or, as this wonderful verse says, we can wake up, we can start our day with anticipation and faith, declaring something like this: whatever I face this day, I'll be facing it with God. I am surrounded by His love and presence. And therefore, whether I encounter this day great blessings or tedious routine or even a difficult trial, I know I shall meet with God's love in it. And so it is well with my soul. And then we find at night, instead of filling our night right to the brim with TV or internet or working on projects or assignments until we finally fall exhausted into bed, instead of that, we can choose somewhere in the nighttime to pause, briefly push the pause button, and do some reflection on the day. And I can take time to trace out God's love that I encountered through that day. And I can declare at the end of the day God's faithfulness. God has indeed been faithful in his love. To declare your steadfast love in the morning, anticipation, faith, and your faithfulness at night, reflection, and gratitude. Perhaps I got angry at someone in the day, but the Lord convicted me and brought me to repentance. His love was there. Perhaps something I feared came and went, and somehow I got through it. His love was there. Perhaps I was discouraged, and someone came up and spoke a kind word. His love was there. Perhaps an opportunity to talk about the Lord to somebody opened up, and I was able to share my love of Jesus with them. His love was there. Friends, there are 1,000 different ways every day that we encounter God's steadfast love and faithfulness. And here's the key. If we don't feel entitled to it, we will take the time to express our gratitude to God for his faithfulness. But you say, well, that sounds just fine, Tim. That seems pretty theoretical. But what if your day was a complete disaster? Dark, bleak, and bad from beginning to end. What then? Well, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, my friend, there is always much to give thanks for. Your sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus' death for you. God will never hold you responsible for any of your sins. God is now your Father. You've been joined to a spiritual family called a church. He has given you his precious word. He has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. No bad day, no matter how bad that day is, no bad day can change any of that. I have a pastor friend, Robbie Simons, that often says this, for the Christian, every day is a good day. For the Christian, every day is a good day. Yes, for the Christian, every day is a good day. Because, friends, we will never, ever experience the worst thing that could ever happen to us because of what Christ has done for us. Instead, we have only the hope of meeting our God and living with him forever and ever. We meet his steadfast love and faithfulness every day because we are children of the living God. So looking at verse 2, let me ask you, does this rhythm, this rhythm of anticipating God's love, rising, your heart rising up with anticipation to meet God's hesed, God's covenantal love. And then at the end of the day, looking back, reflecting, and declaring his faithfulness. Does this rhythm of gratitude operate in your life? Or are you instead consumed with everything that is wrong around you, wrong in you, wrong in others, wrong in your surroundings? Verses 1 to 3 show us the lifestyle, how to live a lifestyle of joyful gratitude. But here's the question, is it not? How do we actually do this? It's all nice, but how do you actually live this? How do you actually live this way? Well, we've been talking about the lifestyle of joyful gratitude, but in verse 4, we get to the motivation for joyful gratitude. What actually gives us the power to live this way? The motivation for joyful gratitude. And notice the word for at the beginning of verse 4. For. Here's the reason. Here's the explanation of all that comes in verses 1 to 3. Why is the psalmist able to live with such a joyful heart? Look what it says. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. God has made him glad. God has given the psalmist a glad heart. And is it not true that thankfulness flows relatively easy from a glad heart? Is it not true? When we have a glad heart, we are grateful. Gratefulness comes easily from a glad heart. Now, here's the great part. That's not the full answer. How has God made him glad? And notice what it says. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. That's it. That's the key to it all, my friends. You see, we spend far too much time unhappy because we are focused on the wrong thing. Ourselves, our work, what we accomplish. We try to get our sense of worth from who we are, our identity, and what we do, what we accomplish. In these verses, we find the psalmist is delighting in verse 2 in who God is. Verse 4, what God has done. There's nothing at all in these verses about the psalmist. He's happy. And who is he happy about? What's he happy about? He's happy about God. Friends, our happiness is not to be dependent on that big sale to a client, or being invited to that exclusive party, or getting an A on that paper. It's not to be dependent on how much money I have in the bank, or how much other people respect us, or if I'm attractive to the opposite sex. In fact, it's not even dependent, parents, on whether my kids are doing well spiritually or not, or how good my marriage is, or even if I'm growing spiritually as much as I would like to. My happiness is not dependent on these things. Sure, those things, if we get them, they make us happy, don't they? But we must never depend on those things for our happiness because they're so uncertain. What these verses are telling us is that true joy and gladness, a grateful heart, comes from getting our eyes off ourselves, off our circumstances, and onto God. We rest in what He has accomplished. How right it is to have it labeled as being for the Sabbath. We rest in what He has done. We rest in what God has accomplished for us through Christ at the cross, not what we have accomplished for God through our efforts, even if they be virtuous efforts as Christians. That is not where we get our joy from. That's not where we get our sense of identity from, our sense of worth from. We praise God for who He is and what He has done. This is just the ABCs of the gospel, is it not? In other words, friends, there is a joy found in self-forgetfulness. The opposite message that the world gives you. The world says the way you're going to get joy is to think about yourself and give you what you want. Then you're going to be happy. The Bible tells you, no, that's all wrong. It's all backwards. Joy is found in self-forgetfulness as we contemplate God and His grand work of salvation for us. So, where does all this leave us on this Thanksgiving weekend? Friends, I think these verses tell us that we can live in gladness every day. We can live in gladness and gratitude every day if we contemplate God and His works, who God is, and what He has done. We could start with the great things He has done in creation, and then we can contemplate His mysterious hand in providence. But it culminates in the great work He has done in redemption through Jesus Christ for us on that cross. And as we think about that cross work of Jesus for us, what God has accomplished for me. I'll tell you, friends, that I'm one of those type of people that as I lay down in bed at night, I think about whether I got a lot of stuff done. And I feel heavy if I didn't get a lot of the things on my list done. I tend to get my peace and my gladness from accomplishing things. But I tell you, this psalm is calling all of us to a different way of obtaining and drinking in the gladness of God. And that is by thinking about what God has accomplished. What I need to be doing, and I've started to do this more and more, as I lie down in my bed, rather than thinking about what Tim has accomplished today, I think about what Jesus has accomplished for Tim. The great work that he has done. And as I think about it, it makes me glad. You, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. And is not that work all about God removing our sins from us forever so that we can have clear access to him? I have a song that I'd like you to listen to. I didn't have enough time this morning. This is something I did at the last minute. Usually a bad idea, but I decided to go with it anyway. Just a few minutes actually before I left the house, I was listening to the song and I thought, wow, that's a wonderful song. I wish I had all the words for you on the PowerPoint so you can follow. But I want you to listen. And before we turn it on, there's probably some here today, as there always is each Sunday, there are probably some here today that have never given their life to Jesus Christ. When we talk about the accomplishments of Jesus for you, you don't know what we're talking about. Or you've heard us talk about it, but you don't know it experientially. This is a great day for you to give your life to Jesus. This is a great day for you to put your trust in what he has done for you. To be glad on this Thanksgiving day to receive the gift that he's given you. And to call on his name. And the scriptures say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. Whoever. And I guess what? Everyone's name is in that whoever. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on Jesus' name today. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to listen to this song. And then I would like to have a special prayer with you. Prayer with you all. And I'm going to ask at the end of the service, I'm going to stay back here and maybe Ron would come as well. Ron Gleason Jr. And we can pray for you and with you if you would like to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So listen to this song, and I hope it's encouraging to you. I love listening to it.
Sins are forgotten there on the
You love to have your sins erased. They're never going to come back. They're on the ocean floor. That can be yours today. Some of you are bearing your sins. You've been bearing your sins your whole life. Today, Jesus would love to take them from you. And for those of us who have experienced that, isn't that a reason for gladness? Whatever else is going on in our life, isn't that a reason for gladness and thanksgiving? So, Father, we thank you for what you have done for us. You've taken our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. And you have buried them. You poured out your wrath on your Son so that you could pour out your blessing and goodness and favor on all who call on the name of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We have so much to give you thanks for on this day and every day. So we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that we would live in this rhythm of waking up in the morning and declaring your steadfast love, declaring our anticipation that today, no matter what comes, God's love is going to be with me. And then at the end of the day, reflecting back our gratitude as we recount and trace out the many ways that you have loved us, cared for us, protected us. We are so grateful for all you've given us in your Son. And we pray in his name. Amen.